Hello everyone, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Well, as you know, today, the 6th of January, is a really important day for us in the Montessori calendar. It's the day that the first Casa dei Bambini was opened in Italy. And in Italy, it's also the day on which children received gifts. So I would like to thank both John and Sarah for the gifts that they're bringing us today, and their generosity of sharing their passion and knowledge on this very important date. Here's what Maria Montessori had to say in 1907, only weeks after opening the San Lorenzo Casa. She said, "The Casa dei Bambini is not a passive daycare for children, but a true school of education whose methods are inspired by the rational principles of scientific pedagogy. The physical development of the children is closely monitored, and exercises in language, the senses, and practical life form the main foundations of knowledge. The teaching is eminently objective and benefits from an uncommon wealth of educational materials. However, it is not possible to delve into these details here. Suffice it to say that the school already has its own facilities, such as a room for hot and cold baths and partial wash basins for the children. Where possible, there is also a stretch of land where the children can cultivate an educational garden." So, today, the overarching theme of our talk is how Montessori history fuels today's innovations in education. And we are grateful to present two speakers from our wonderful network. Dr. John Exalto, who is Assistant Professor in Theory and History of Education, and Sarah Kitaleja, Executive Director of the Montessori Community of Tanzania. Both are inspired by the vision of Maria Montessori that education is the best instrument for change in society. They will be sharing their views on reforming existing educational systems. Both current Montessori practice and academia will be highlighted. John is going to speak to us, and I'll introduce him first, and we'll listen to John first, and then I'll introduce you, Sarah, after John, and we'll listen to you after that. So John is going to speak to us on progressive education and the grammar of schooling, and he will offer some historical observations for us. He works as Assistant Professor in Theory and History of Education at the University of Groningen. His research focuses on the intersections of history, identity, religion, and education, with a special interest in the historical dimensions of progressive education, from Comenius to Montessori. So we know that in his presentation, John will explore the concept of the grammar of schooling. And so, John, if I may, I'd like to say to you, thank you and welcome. And we do look forward to listening to what it is you're going to present us with. And so we will pass over now to John for his presentation.
So thank you for your kind introduction, Lynn,
You're
for
welcome.
today's talk from my side, Progressive Education and the Grammar of Schooling. On this very historical date, I will share with you some historical observations in the history of progressive education. So, and you said it already, Lynn, exactly 118 years ago, Montessori began her work in the San Lorenzo district in Rome. And today, I would like to focus on Montessori as a pioneer of progressive education, highlighting three remarkable individuals with whom she was connected in some way, and who I have encountered in my own research on educational reform. Like Montessori, these three figures faced resistance from established institutions, opposition from entrenched opinions, and also pushback from authorities in government, academia, and the educational field itself when attempting to implement improvements in education. In other words, they encountered the grammar of schooling. So it's useful to first explain the concept grammar of schooling before discussing the three educational reformers. The term grammar of schooling was introduced, as you can see at the slide, in 1994 by Tayac and Tobin of Stanford University. And in their paper, The Grammar of Schooling, Why Has It Been So Hard to Change? The authors examine several attempts at educational reform. They define the grammar of schooling as the organizational framework within which teachers instruct their students. Efforts to reform education are initially met with great enthusiasm. Maybe you know that by experience, but eventually face resistance from the traditional organization of schooling, what we call the grammar of schooling. This theoretical concept, grammar of schooling, has become influential in the history of education, but has also been nuanced by various researchers. Historians argue that every attempt at educational reform must adapt itself to the grammar of schooling, what means that every reform has always to adapt to the practice in the school. Secondly, the grammar of schooling is historical shaped and therefore subject to change itself over time. And finally, there is not one single grammar of schooling, but rather various types and levels of education, and each with its own framework. So, three educational reformers who had some connection to Montessori encountered the grammar of schooling in their work. And I will briefly discuss them here in turn, highlighting the factors that their reforms came up against. Their names are Jan Amers Comenius from the Czech Republic, Kees Boeke from the Netherlands, and Philip Koonstam from Germany and later the Netherlands. And I will start with Comenius. Jan Amers Comenius was not a contemporary of Montessori as he lived in the 17th century. However, Montessori was familiar with his work. The Orbis Pictus, a famous language textbook by Comenius, was part of her library and is still in Amsterdam in her library. The title page indicates that this copy of the Orbis Pictus was a gift from Vienna in 1930. A bookmark within the book and the condition of the book suggest that Montessori studied the Orbis Pictus in detail. Comenius was a leading educational reformer of his time, inspired by humanism. He believed that education should be natural and visual, free from coercion and violence. According to him, all children, regardless of their background, are entitled to education tailored to their physical and physiological development. The school, in Comenius' view, should be a workshop of humanity. It should align with the students' understanding and provide an orientation to the world around them, helping them see themselves as part of a greater whole. In this way, the school contributes to pansophi, or pansophia, which means universal and all-encompassing wisdom, and which shapes humanity into true civility and leads to the betterment of the world. Comenius is known for his innovative language teaching methods. He sought to teach children not a difficult scholarly Latin, as was common in his time, but rather to connect words with their lived experience through the senses, using the senses, with a mother tongue as the foundation and not the old Latin language. So Comenius broke away from verbalism, moving towards sense-based learning, a direction Montessori later advanced with tools like the well-known sandpaper letters. Comenius developed his methods in his textbooks named Janua, which means a gate or a door, the gate of languages unlocked, starting in 1631 with writing all these textbooks. He took the step toward truly visual education in 1658 with his famous Orbis Sensualum Pictus, the visible world in pictures, a fully illustrated version of the Janua. And some students used this Orbis Pictus also to make their nice colors and paintings within the textbooks. Here in the Orbis Pictus book, the image was not merely an illustration to support the text, but text and image were integrated with cross-references linking words and pictures through the letters. This made visual learning tangible and direct. It was a revolution in didactics, and the Orbis remained in use until the 19th century and was translated into many languages. Montessori later extended this approach by actually going outside with children to observe nature firsthand. Comenius presented his theoretical reflections on education in his Didactica Magna, The Great Didactic, which was translated into German and other languages in at the end of the 19th century and must have been known to the progressive educators of that era. Comenius laid out the philosophical foundation of his educational theory, which he named Pansophi or Pansophia, and which can be translated as all-encompassing wisdom. Pansophi was a metaphysical framework intended as a compass to guide the reform of education, society, and knowledge. It was Comenius's vision for transforming European society into a peaceful community that guaranteed all people opportunities for cultural, intellectual, and political activities. He sought to contribute to, as he described it, the improvement of all human affairs. His theory carried the Pansophic motto, Omnes omnia omnino, which can be translated as to teach everyone everything completely, or to teach everyone everything in relation to the whole. Comenius saw his didactic work as a necessary step towards fulfilling this ideal, believing that a school, in its outdated and deficient state of the 17th century, was the key to improving the world. In his ideas about peace, we see parallels with Montessori. Regarding Pansophi, it brings to mind Montessori's concept of cosmic education. While Comenius' Pansophi was explicitly Christian in nature, from a Christian worldview, Montessori's cosmic education seems more broadly applicable. Comenius was innovative, but like all reformers, encountered the grammar of schooling. His language textbooks faced resistance from scholars who wanted to adhere to the old Latin grammar. Others doubted the results of Comenius' methods, though their criticism quickly faded. Governments invited Comenius to reform Latin schools, but some provided little room for his innovations, preventing them from taking root. The Pansophic ambition of Comenius's theory seemed overly idealistic. However, his innovative approach, especially in sense-based learning, eventually became embedded in education and is now part of the grammar of schooling itself. So now we turn to the second reformer, and I have here a picture of this reformer, Kees Boeke. The picture shows that Kees Boeke had personal contact with Montessori herself. And I think this picture is taken in the Amsterdam apartment of Montessori. Boeke was an educational innovator inspired by Montessori, though he pursued his own path. Boeke is best known as the founder and driving force behind the workshop Children's Community in Bilthoven, near Utrecht, a city in the heart of the Netherlands. At this school, he implemented educational reforms that greatly encouraged children's self-reliance. Boeke sought to reform society through the school and create a better world by doing so. Trained as an engineer, Boeke converted to Quakerism, a religious group in England during a visit in London. For a time, he was an active pacifist, and then he was expelled from England and returned to the Netherlands. After the First World War, he continued his pacifist work in the Netherlands. When his efforts among adults achieved little success, he turned to children, believing the new generation could do better. So to rebuild society, in his idea, he had to start from the ground up. In 1926, Kees Boeke began homeschooling his children because his refusal to pay taxes his taxes are used for paying the war, as his refusal to pay taxes left him unable to afford tuition for their local Montessori school. Other children soon joined, his book is homeschooling, leading to the creation of the workshop children's community. Hooker had no formal educational theory. He aimed to develop the school pragmatically through what he called his philosophy of doers. His ideal of a better, peaceful world and the brotherhood of all people was his guiding principle. In the workshop, Hooker sought the harmonious development of individuals into members of the community. He opposed the traditional classroom system and authority structures. Teachers were called at his school co-workers, and students were workers. And his school had not the name school, but workshop. And they addressed each other by first names. Self-reliance and responsibility were central tenets of the workshop. Hooker envisioned a global network of school communities fostering international brotherhood. And he maintained extensive international connections through the New Education Fellowship, and a worldwide community. At the workshop, and we see here a photograph of the building, students bore a responsibility for themselves and the community. They were workers who also performed household tasks and shared accountability for the school's functioning. The community took precedence over the individual, and personal freedom was subordinate to responsibility towards the community. There were no grades. Evaluation by the community carried significant weight. Likewise, there was no punishment. Misconduct was addressed through conversation and appeals to the conscience of the children. Students completed work plans and were entirely free to structure their schedules over the week. However, they were expected to fulfill their commitments. Responsibility was incompatible with saying, "I don't feel like it today." Kees Boeken can be associated with humanitarianism, a broad term encompassing movements and ideologies from the late 19th to the early 20th centuries. Generally speaking, humanitarianism reacted to the dehumanization of the Industrial Revolution and opposed prevailing political regimes. It often represented a counterculture, rejecting established society, mass culture, and widely accepted values. Interestingly to note, Montessori maintained close ties with the Humanitarian Association in Milan, who operated with similar motivations. Humanitarianists sought to improve and reconsider human life, fostering brotherhood and general benevolence. A return to nature played a significant role in their ideals. The first Dutch humanitarian school, founded in Laren in 1903, was converted into a Montessori school in 1931. So there is a close connection between humanitarianism and Montessori. Alongside Montessori, the ideas of the German theorist Georg Kirchensteiner and his Arbeitsschule were influential. Kees Boeken was an idealist who initially operated entirely outside the grammar of schooling. He was an absolutist and in his ideals and refused government funding for his school. The conventional education system regarded him with suspicion, which limited his school's influence. Only after the Second World War did his ideas gain momentum, especially in international circles. While many of his concepts, such as rejecting government support and abolishing diplomas, were deemed impractical and discarded, his ideas about peace and democracy found broader acceptance. Nonetheless, his vision has remained a critical perspective on the grammar of schooling rather than becoming integrated into it. So far, Kees Boeken, and now I will go to the third and final educator I want to introduce to you, and his name was Philip Koonstam. While I could not find a picture of Montessori together with Koonstam, this photo I show you now on the screen likely shows him just out of frame. It was taken at a ceremony for Montessori's honorary doctorate in Amsterdam in 1950, where Constant played an advisory role, and as a professor, he must have been part of the academic procession. Constant was originally trained as a physicist, and he served as a professor in Amsterdam and developed their ideas for a new type of school, inspired by Montessori and other reform educators. He shared Montessori's scientific curiosity and, like Montessori and Boeke, had a background in the natural sciences. Constant was appointed professor of education in 1919. As one of the first in the Dutch academic field, Constant conducted empirical research in Dutch education, including a study to improve selection and connection between primary and secondary schools by developing a qualitative tool for research on intelligence. And in his tool, language played the most important role. So the language skills of the children, and not their skills in theoretical thinking. Influenced by a scientific revolution within the academic world, Constant became an adherent of the philosophy of personalism, which rejected materialistic thinking and recognized the unique personality of man. He renewed international interest in his philosophy during the first half of the 20th century, coincided with the new education movement, as both emphasized the uniqueness of the individual person and the human being as an individual whole or as a totality. Education should concentrate on the development of the individual into a unique personality by offering opportunities for individual expression within the school's curriculum, such as literature, music, and the arts. Constant published his comprehensive vision titled The New School, The New School in 1925. And by choosing for this title, Constant alluded to the new education movement. Although there are no writings in which Constant especially reflected on Montessori's work as a separate topic, three objections can be distinguished in his work, all following his theory of personalism. First, he believed that too much trust was placed in the instincts of the child. Constant was convinced that instinct could not guide the process of education because a child's personality was not fully developed. Second, he believed that too heavy a burden of responsibility was placed on the shoulders of the child in Montessori education. While Constant agreed with Montessori that every child has the right to develop their personality by bearing responsibility, the purpose of this responsibility must be to teach the child to use their freedom. Third, Constant was convinced that the critical part of education was the shared experience of classroom teaching and the feeling of being part of a community. He therefore revised his initial conviction to entirely abandon group classifications, and he little criticized Montessori for her rejection of the classroom learning style. In his ideas, Constant was not only inspired by Montessori, but also by the Montessori student Parkhurst, and he was also very enthusiastic about William Wirt, American scholar, a student of John Dewey, and William Wirt introduced the work-study-play plan, also known as the Platoon School Plan or as the Gary Plan. And the Gary Plan was named after the steel city of Gary in Indiana, whose residents were mostly immigrants from Europe. In his theory, Wirt aimed to make children better prepared for a profession and particularly for life in the industrial society in which they took part. He did this by applying the principle of learning by doing, what we know from Dewey, and by providing workshop education in a suitable environment, which is print shops, gardens, and swing rooms. Other types of physical training, such as gym classes, swimming, and playgrounds, played a major role in his educational theory. Typical of his approach was that children were divided into platoons, alternating between core subjects as mathematics, science, English, history, and training workshops and physical education. Although Koonstam envisioned more extensive reforms in Dutch education, his ideas ultimately found fertile ground. His impact, however, should be assessed from a long-term perspective and within the context of renewed interest in various forms of new education, not the least Montessori education. Key new education and personalistic principles persisted in Koonstam's work and in the Dutch school system, as active engagement in learning, fostering a close relationship between teacher and student, and emphasizing the importance of learning about life in its totality. The personalistic philosophy underpinning Koonstam's new education ideas may partly explain the initially limited impact of his work in the Dutch grammar of schooling. These ideas diverged from the prevailing grammar of schooling of his time, requiring a systematic transformation that was incompatible with the existing educational framework. So I want now to come to a conclusion with some final remark. Today I've presented to you some historical observation on progressive education and the grammar of schooling, and I've discussed three educational innovators, Comenius, Boeke, and Koonstam, kindred spirits of Montessori. And each of them had a special connection to Montessori herself. So the first thing we can say, the first remark, that Montessori was not alone in her efforts. Like Elijah in the Old Testament, who thought he was the only one left, there are always others, in Elijah's case 7,000 just and steadfast individuals, who refuse to accept the grammar of schooling as it is. Second remark, these innovators shared a strong conviction that extended beyond the school itself, a vision of humanity, the world, the future of the child and society. One called it cosmic education, another pansophy, a third humanitarianism, and a fourth personalism. But these foundational beliefs provided direction for their educational and pedagogical innovations. Third, their innovations had both immediate and practical goals, like democracy for Caseboeke, language improvement for Comenius, and looser classroom structures for Koonstam, that were realized in their own time at some schools. At the same time, they pursued broader overarching goals related to their strong convictions, a reimagining of the entire grammar of schooling. While these larger goals were not fully realized in their lifetime, they have had lasting effects over time. For instance, Koonstam contributed to the extensions of compulsory education, and Comenius, child-centered education and sense-based learning have left a significant legacy. Finally, and that's what I will conclude with, the grammar of schooling is a mutable construct of its time that continually threatens to overshadow the child and the act of learning. This is why innovators remain essential. So, at the start of the new year, at this historical date, the 6th of January, let us continue to work in the spirit of Montessori and her fellow innovators. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you so much, John. And what an uplifting way for us to finish that talk. I must say, I've learned a huge amount in these last few minutes. Very exciting. And also that we're not alone, which is absolutely reassuring on the one hand, but also that there are a requirement for innovators to constantly be present in order to eventually make some difference on the grammar of school. Thank you so much for that very enlightening talk. And we'll come back to you in a moment with some questions once we've engaged with Sarah's talk. I would love now to introduce to you Sarah Kitaleja, who we have known now for some years and her inspiring work in Tanzania. Sarah really advocates for equitable access to quality early childhood care and education. believing very strongly that environments should be empowering children for their holistic development. She's been committed to driving societal transformation through nonprofit organizations for over a decade. As the executive director of the Montessori Community of Tanzania, she advocates for children and she wants to empower children. Her leadership, her project management, and community outreach expertise have helped develop and propel the organization that she represents, the Montessori Community of Tanzania, forward at a wonderful level of growth and now impact. Sarah holds a master's degree in policy and practice for civil society from Bradford University in the UK and an executive diploma in leadership from Aalto University in Finland. She has also, of course, embedded herself within the Montessori thinking and philosophy and actually also has done an AMI 3-6 assistance certificate. She has held pivotal roles with organizations such as the Mwanza Women's Development Association, the Children's Book Organization, where she advocated for education, gender equality, and child rights. She has experience collaborating with government bodies, local organizations, and international partners. And we are absolutely engaged in the work that she and her colleagues are doing in Tanzania to change the education landscape more positively. So, if I may, Sarah, I will pass over to you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Lynn. I would like to talk about the introduction of Montessori in Tanzania. In 1967, Montessori in Tanzania was brought in Tanzania by Miss Dwyer through the Aga Khan Foundation. They called her to help to transform their nursery to Montessori. And when she came, it could not be that successful since there was political issues. Then the foreigners have to go back to their countries. But later on, the Bade sister from Switzerland asked her to come back to Tanzania and support the little sisters in Tanzania to transform or to help the teenage mothers how to raise their children, but also how to help children from the very poor community. So when she came, she worked very closely with the support from the Maria Montessori Institute because she needed a lot of support and she was given a room in the marketplace to start and transform the community there. And she managed to take some few of Tanzanians to Maria Montessori Institute in London for further studies through scholarships with the help and support of Mr. Mario Montessori, Mrs. Hila Patel, and Miss Lynn, who have been working very closely with Ms. Dwyer to support this initiative. In 1972, she pushes or she advocates on establishing Montessori in Tanzania, training Montessori College in Tanzania, so as to create or to produce more of the trainers in the country because it was so expensive to take them outside of the country. So 1972 was the first Montessori College in Tanzania. And this was so much possible with the help with people from Tanzania like Sister Gaspara, Sister Salvina, Sister Dennis, and Sister Bentrod, who have been there to help and support and make sure everything is possible in Tanzania to have the first course, the registration of the first Montessori College. So in 1997, we established a Montessori Training Association of Tanzania, whereby Sister Gaspara, Savina, Dennis, and Bentrod, they come to the point that there might be a fake Montessori and there will be a challenge because it's a new pedagogy in the community. But how are we going to support the community? So they formed this association so that to support the teachers, but also to raise awareness in the community. So they are meeting once in a year just to speak and see how they can support each other and how they can raise awareness in the community and spread more of Montessori in the country. And after many years of operation, 1997 to 2021, we transformed from Montessori Training Association to Montessori Community of Tanzania because now it was time to go public and invite everybody who is interested in Montessori. Before it was just for Montessori professionals, Montessori trained. But now it was open as Montessori Community of Tanzania for more people who are really interested in Montessori, who wants to work with us and how we can work in the public sector. So that's why we had to register to 2021 as Montessori Community of Tanzania. And the objective of the Matsuri Committee of Tanzania is the accessibility to equitable, quality all childhood education that for their holistic development through Montessori principles, but also enhance learning environment through training and essential teaching materials and improve the quality of the education, strengthen the child care models that will empower the communities to do some socioeconomic activities, as well as foster partnerships to work with other stakeholders in ECD to collaborate and transform the community. And through all this initiative for over 50 years, Montessori Community of Tanzania has managed to establish 7 Montessori training centers across the country, as well as we have trained caregiver or Montessori teachers for more than 5,160. And the course that you have from the training center is national certificate, national diploma. Then we have 2 batches of international diploma in the country and the first batch international diploma, which is still going on. So this also has been a success in the country, as well as Montessori Community of Tanzania is a membership organization where we have more than 6,000 members who has come together and spearhead the Montessori in the country. As well as we have been able to establish Montessori schools. Now we have more than 3,000 Montessori schools established in the country and reach more than 130 children in the country. And 18 elementary schools, few are from the public sector and some are in the private sector. As we foster Montessori in Tanzania, there are so much challenges that are popping up, and we have to mitigate these challenges in order to get access, visibility, and sustainability of Montessori in Tanzania. So major challenge were in the community level, like there was low awareness of Montessori, and most of the community think that Montessori is a wastage of time because children are going to school and play, as well as there was no continuity because it was only for many years it was only 3 to 6. So they said there's no continuity where we will take our child after they study Montessori, and also it looked like it was a religious organization, as well as MCT members, because Montessori has been there since 1967. For over 50 years, they complained that there was no inadequate professional training, that after they get their first training certificate, national diploma, but there was no possibility for them to get further studies, like international diploma. It was expensive unless you have money to go outside of the country. As well as the material, usually when they graduate with a full set of Montessori, maybe 90% of Montessori material. So when they use it for over years, they get torn and they need to repair them. They had nowhere to do that. As well as in the government sector, there's a lot of acceptability, misconception, and policy regulation barriers that there was an issue of age mix. How possible can we mix the ages and make sure that the children are really impacted in good education, but acceptability that this is applicable in our communities. This was another issue, but issue of religious aspect, because Montessori started it through Little Sisters on the Catholic Church. So they thought this is a religious thing, like it's come from Italy, Rome, then Italy, it comes to Tanzania. So there was so much of connection of that. So there was a lot of misconception, like the Montessori children are so free, there's too much freedoms, but they know how we manage the children in the classes. So this was a lot of challenges in the community. And in order to foster Montessori in the community of Tanzania, we think that we need to address this kind of challenges so that we can increase accessibility, visibility. Because they said there was no evidence that Montessori works very well in the Tanzania context. So we had to do a research in the country, like to see if the effectiveness and impact in the community. And one of the key findings was that effectiveness is in Montessori is effective in promoting child development and learning, as well as it is aligns well with the existing structure in the government, like education for self-reliance philosophy, for education and training policies and competency-based curriculum. So this was really aligning with the government aspect. But also through the research, we find out that there's so much desire from the government to adapt Montessori in their system, like engage MCT members in the curriculum development so many times, have been engaged in their members, but as well as adopt train of Montessori in the pre-primary classes, in the primary, in the secondary, but also in the training of the in-service teacher training. So the government have been a little bit into involve Montessori people, although they say there is no evidence. So through this research, we had to do to create that it's working and there's an impact. But also we did a documentary in the country to showcase that Montessori, it works by interviewing those Montessori children who went to the Montessori schools or Almin and see how it has impacted them in their families. So in 2023, we managed to launch this research, and the guest of honor was the Vice President of Tanzania, and more than 2,000 people attended, and the Vice President asked us, like, what do you want the government to help you? And we said that we need to work to collaborate with the government to transform our community, but we need that access to remove those barriers that they are there. And he said, I'm giving you this minister from social welfare that will help you to take your heads to another department, every department you want to go in the government system. So this was also a way of increasing our access or visibility in the system. And there was a research that was done in 2022, the Global Montessori Census, and when we are launching our research, we also share these results because it also increases the credibility in the community. How do we advocate Montessori in the community to mitigate those challenges that you have mentioned before? So we have a platform that we get, we call it Montessori Hub. This is a platform where we meet different stakeholders who are dealing with children, and we share every different challenges of the child, and we come up with the common solutions. Like we have parent dialogues, we have joint advocacy with these stakeholders, community engagement, and male engagement. Because we found out of the research, we found out male are left behind when it comes to issue of parenting. So we want to bring them in and take Montessori out of the class and take to the community, take to the home, take to the parents. So that's why we brought this Montessori hub to the community. And we went to different, went to, sorry, we have reached more than 1,325 communities so far. And we went to Tanzania is a republic country of Zanzibar and mainland. So Zanzibar has a little bit of diversity of culture. So we went to Zanzibar also to advocate on Montessori and how we can be embedded in the community, as well as we do it in the mainland. But in mainland, you know, we have urban and rural area. People who are in the urban are more familiar with different curriculum, maybe a little bit of Montessori they know, but we have to orient the parents or the community and how to select, how to take Montessori at their homes, how the psychology of the child, the holistic, the environment of the child, how does it support? But we also go to the village because where there's no, in the rural areas, where there is not enough time, like they don't know enough access to other privilege, like in the urban, like how can we access to this kind of parenting skills? Because most of the children start to go to school after 5 years old, but from 0 to 5, they are at home. But what does the parents can do so that the child, when go to the school, then there's not too much of damaging in at home? So this has been in the community level, but we also use the outreach of our existing platforms. There are a lot of platforms that were created by the government or community. For instance, Policy Gender Desk, which is a child protection committee. This is the committee where all issues for child protection pertaining are reported there. So we work very closely with the police desk so that we reach the community very well. But also the religious leaders, we found out a lot of nursery school or daycare centers, they're in the churches. But how do we access that community in the churches and remove that this is not a religious thing, but it's all about parenting, the holistic development of the child. And we also work with the social affairs officers who are the custodians of the children from 0-6 to 8 and involve them in every activities we do and collaborate with them. But also there's teachers association in union or unions. These are the platforms where different teachers from different sector they meet and discuss any issues concerning the education in the country. So we also chip in to see how we can work together and collaborate and support each other. This is the way also how to increase our accessibility, but as well as media, because media is easy to get access easily. We also take Montessori in the market centers. Yeah, we, as I spoke in the beginning, the first Montessori class started in the market. So we went back in the market and found out a lot of children in the market and it's not safe for them. But there was no option for the parents because they could not leave their children at home and it was not safe. So they have to go with them in the market. But we found out that the government, when you build the market, they always put a small room for children. But we found those rooms are used as stores because they could not know how to transform them. So we approach the market leaders, and we ask them if it's possible that we transform that room to be a daycare center, and we bring the teacher, but the parents have to pay for the teacher salary as well as enough money to keep the children, to cook the children porridge or food when they are there in the evening when the parents go back home. And this has been so successful. The parents have said they agree and think that this is going to help their children to be safe instead of running around in the marketplaces. So we also take Montessori in the issue of gender equality, because we know that there was an issue of addressing gender-based violence, addressing cultural norms that hinder access to the equitable education. There was a lot of stereotyping that only male child they can go to further education, but the girl have to be get married early. So, but as we are called in this community, we say that it's only possible if we invest in education in ECD and at early age, because these are the future leaders, these are the future mothers, future husbands in the future, that they're going to eradicate the issue of gender equality or then the cultural norms that hinder access to equitable education. So we took the AECD into gender in this kind of community, which is the nomadic family. We have reached more than 1,000 children so far through this. You know, it's not a complete Montessori, but at small aspects, changing behavior, changing perspectives, that's what we do. Also, we took Montessori in the clinics, that Montessori have to be... We need to go to the clinic because we found out most of the children get to school when they're 2 years old or 3 and above. So where are the other children? So we have to go to the clinic and talk to the mothers about the psychology of the child, the development of the child when they're at home, when they're pregnant, what should they do, and how should they take care of the children, as well as the issue of nutrition. So this was also another platform we use. And networking and partnerships. There's a lot of networks in the system in Tanzania, like Tanzania HRD Development Network. This is the governmental somehow platform. So we also get access to the attainment. Tanzania Institute of Education, these are only mainly in curriculum development. So we being part of this platform also help you to get this kind of access or visibility. As well as Aga Khan University is a private organization, university that have ECD courses, and the University of Dar es Salaam has ECD courses also. But when we're doing the research, we do it with the University of Dar es Salaam. So this has also increased our credibility in the community. So when we advocate for the government, we have another strategy that we use to foster Montessori in the other way for sustainability, like Ministry of Community Development, Gender, Women and Special Groups. This is the ministry where we register our NGOs, the ministry where our training center have to be also registered. But also it gives the accreditation to the teachers. This has been successful for over many years, that all the teachers that are graduating from our Montessori training centers, they're getting a certificate from the government. And this has helped them to get job anywhere because they are recognized by the government. And the government is, the commissioner is signing the certificate, and the head of the heading of the training center also signed in two stamps that this is qualified to work in every in a child care center, as well as registering of the care center has been so possible when we have Montessori certificate. And when you go to register in this ministry, they ask you, bring a Montessori certificate teacher. We can help you, and it's going to be so fast. But if you don't have a Montessori certificate, it takes long and prolong a lot of searching to make sure that you are eligible to be registered. And we have been taking these government officials to visit our school, because when they say our children, they have so much of freedom, but there's freedom and limit. But how do we show them there's freedom and limit? We have to take them in the classes and see how we mentor our children, as well as how we support our children. Also in the material making, they all say material are very expensive, but materials are making locally. And this has been so successful. As well, in every AGM annual meeting, we also officiated by the government officials, because we want them to see what do we do to know our members, how many are we, how what do we do. And what one of the minutes, one of the annual meeting in 2023, the commissioner said that we need to have MOU with Montessori Community of Tanzania, because what they are doing is what we need in the public sector. So for 2022, we have the Minister of Community Development of Gender, Women and Special Group. 2023 was Commissioner of Education. In 2024 was Executive Director of Pre-Primary Education, who came to our AGM. As well, we did a lot of exhibition and showing Casey Montessori, because we want to show them Montessori it works. Then the materials are not decoration in the classes, but materials have meaning in different groups, like sensorial, for sensorial, for practical life, for culture, for numeracy and language. How are they supporting the child to develop? Because most of the parents, almost of the on the government sectors, we are so interested to see children are doing reading, writing and counting. But this is quite possible when there's a process a child can go through. So we've been going to a lot of government meetings to showcase what we do, to showcase the Montessori material, how they transform a child, how they help the child, and how we mentor our children to use this kind of materials. And teacher continuous professional development. This has been a challenge in our community. Like members, they said there's no continuous professional development. Yes, we have introduced the 3 to 6 to 12 and 3 to 6 international diploma, but we also do a refresher course, review their theories, but also the policies from the government and the guidelines, material making and repair. So they come with the old material, we repair. Those who want new materials, we also make new material, but also engaging school inspectors, social welfare and education officers, especially school inspectors, because when they go to inspect our schools, they speak a lot that we don't use the schemes, lesson plans, and this has been a challenge. And the issue of age mix has been also being another challenge. But bringing in them to our refresher course, to our meeting with the teachers, they also learn and understand why we have to have this kind of we have this mixed age in the classes, why we are using a lot of albums or files, and how do we assess the child, the observation, the portfolio of the child. So we orient them in this. So when they go back, there'll be no more much of complaints. But also I've been invited to do a service teacher training. And this has been invitation from the government themselves, that we want to help our teachers to transform their classes, but also to make their own materials. Now, the government has given a list of materials, a list of materials that they have to produce, but they have a lot of material in the classes that they know how to use sometimes, but also to give the meaning of the material, that these materials enable the sensorial, these materials enable the practical life, how does it enable develop a child. So this also has been one of the way of increasing credibility or accessing or spreading Montessori in the public sectors. We've reached like 1,000 teachers and 29,000 children will be benefiting. But also, as we did a research, we saw there's a lot of alignment of national curriculum. And we had to pioneer the comprehensive reformed of curriculum. And we've been part of it from the beginning. And in 2023, we are selected to be among of the international trainers who mentor different education actors. The alignment of Montessori pedagogy and informed curriculum has increased so much access in the public sectors, because now they see that Montessori is a competency-based, and now the government have shifted from content-based to competency-based. So for 15 years, Montessori have been implementing competence-based curriculum. And there's no exams, there's no corporal punishment, and they want to know how this is possible. So this has been also a good initiative, and we've been being lucky to get this chance from the government, and we've trained more than 10,000 teachers. So we have reached 1,000 through this different interventions, training, and everything. 1,028 givers have got the refresher course. 136,000 children have got access to this. But 343 quality assurance or school inspectors we have been reached. 134 education officers, as 107 social welfare. Also, we have been having a pilot study in Bukoba, how to integrate Montessori in the public school. And this has been done for 6 months, and it was MOU between the Patach College, Montessori College in Bukoba, with the president office. And this has been successful because when we did an assessment, we found out the teacher's attitude, perspective, and behavior has changed. Even when we ask them, they say the perspective of how will we handle the children is different because now I have the psychology of the child. I know how to handle the children. Then the corporal punishment has decreased because before they used to beat a lot of children because they didn't know how to handle the children. But also the few materials that they could use enable them to teach easily in their bigger classes. So this was another initiative. And building of Montessori architect through the Montessori architect, Montessori school is a model school which is in Momera, Arusha, and this has increased the access to the government because this is the government school and it's using Montessori, and the building is building in 28 patterns. They consider the child size, and the environment also is for stimulation learning. And most of the government people have been so interested to go and see how possible Montessori could be integrated in the public school. And the building also this building has won awards in Disney Award and African Building of the Year for 2024. This has been so successful in the community, and most of the government officials, we took them to this building and see how is it possible to integrate the Montessori in the public school. As well in the Montessori model schools, this is also to increase the sustainability of Montessori in the country, that we build the Montessori model schools using the 28 patterns. So it's not only about the material or about, but we also consider the building that have the designs or patterns that's helping a child for development. As we talk, a prepared environment, it's not all for the teacher or for the material preparation, but also the building is part of it. So we had a high-level advocacy meeting. So through a lot of initiative, you know, the government has been calling us to have different meetings in this high level, like the Minister of Education, the Minister of the Social Welfare, the President Office, where the teachers are more custodians. So we've been having a lot of these high-level meetings discussing how we can collaborate and working together, as well as the annual meeting of social welfare. Always they have annual meetings in a year, and we've been invited and share our experience, our expertise, and how we can work together so that we can serve the children of Tanzania for transforming and the holistic development. So this has been successful to attend this meeting. But also Zanzibar has appointed Montessori, our select Montessori Community of Tanzania, to be a technical working group in multisectoral early childhood development and stakeholders. What is happening in Zanzibar that we need to transform and help them, because Montessori have many years of experience working with the children from 0 to 6 up to 8, and now they want to establish structures, they want to establish daycare center, they want to establish policies and guidelines how to work with the children. So among the stakeholders we appointed, we also joined the technical working group. So Indaba Institute has joined us in last year and invested in Zanzibar. This has been also one way of increasing credibility in the government sector. When we had a meeting with the Parliament Secretary, this invested in schools. This has been so. So it was a one way of lobbying the government to know that we are not the only one. We have our neighbors from South Africa also doing the same stuff, and it's working. And this has been so pushing and helping for the signing of MOUs and in Education Tanzania. Being affiliated with the MI, also has increased the credibility of the organization, that there's a globe we are attached globally, but also has included that there's organization that is there for benchmarking or the quality assurance of the what we are doing. So this has been a really credible to our organization, because working with we've been working with MI for many years, but we were not affiliated. So when we get this certificate and went to share it with the government, we are here accredited. So it was really way of lobbying also in the government. Atuasa Foundation is the developing partner. This is our supporting financially. I've been with us for years, but also agreed to support Manusoe community for 10 years. So have been all this initiative has quite possible because our trust has been there to give us our financial assistance and support and supporting all this initiative in the country, but also visiting come to Tanzania to see what we do, but also ready that we can work to go to the public. Also, this has been so helping us to lobby and in the community as well as in the government, but also the members benefit and having a lot of members because there is a partner who is supporting our initiative. After all initiative, after for 50 years, I can say, now we have signed MOU with the Minister of Education, Zanzibar and mainland Tanzania. And this has been so a successful journey because for so many years, more than 50 years, we've been struggling, was trying a lot of challenges, a lot of misconception, acceptability, policy barriers. But now that we can see the sustainability of Montessori now, because as we sign MOU with the government, that we are given access to train the children in the schools, but to train the teachers, but also to work with the government officials means that this is the huge success for the organization, that we are now having a free hand to go to work with the government, to walk in the government corridors. So this has been our desire for many years. And finally, last year, in the end of the year, we managed to sign this MOU, and we hope to do much with the MOU. And we expect that in 2025, we are going to start to introduce core in the public sector. We are going to train a practitioner from the pre-primary teachers that will be trained, like 207 as a pilot, as well as 40 feet will be trained so that we can spread Montessori wider. But we are going to use community-rooted education for now and see how it works and how it transform the community. And the government also have been known about this community-rooted education, and they are ready and excited how we can transform our pre-primary sector and see how we can see the continuity, because more of the children, they go to the public schools. Not every child, not every parent is willing to take their children to the private school. So this has been so wonderful for us that now we can work with the government without any fear, since they understand what we do. So I'd like to thank you. Welcome to Montessori. Asante sana, karibu Montessori Community of Tanzania. These are the few issues that I've tried to share with you, how we foster Montessori in our community and how we look into future sustainability through working with the community and the government. Thank you so much.
Sarah, thank you very much indeed for that incredibly impressive, if I may say, practical explanation of many of the things that John brought to our attention, that the fellow pioneers with Montessori and after Montessori had focused on in their different ways of envisaging education. I think it was really inspirational. And John, also to you, the two speakers, so inspiring. We've got some questions coming in. And if I may, John, if you could come also back onto your screen. I'll start with you, John, and then I'm going to go and ask you also, Sarah, a following question, if I may. So one of the questions, John, for you is, how do you think the history of education in the past influences today's developments in education? What can we learn from the educational past? What lessons do we need to take in today's world?
So thank you for the question. It's a broad question, and there are possible answers possible, I would say, a lot of answers possible. The first thing I want to say is the history of education is important, and I have not to say it to explain it to you. because we all are involved in Montessori education, and that's part of the history, but also part of the present. So, for all of us in Montessori circles, it's important to know the history of education, and we can learn a lot of lessons from the history. And my focus today was that we can learn that there are a lot of educational innovators in the history of education, and it's worth to study them. To learn how they deal in their times with the grammar of schooling. That's the first general point. And I would also say, as a kind of an inspirational lesson, sometimes they struggle very hard in their days with the grammar of schooling and with governments and existing schools. But in the end, a lot of innovators, and not the least Montessori, she has influenced the grammar of schooling. So to be an educational innovator today, you can got inspiration from the past that in the end there will be some success. And we heard it also from Sarah also, of course. Yeah.
Yes. Just sort of hang in there as the time goes by, and know that if you're working steadfastly, that you can both contribute from and give to the current situation. Thank you. And Sarah, there's a quite a bit of interest in your focus on gender equality in Tanzania. Could you talk a little bit more about that in terms of what impacts you think you're either aiming for or are have seen change?
Yes. With the gender equality, we just realized that most in this kind of community, there's stereotyping that all the male child can go to school and the girl child have to get ready to get married. And this has been our cultural norms for many years. But we believe that even when a child is growing up, we'll just think that as a girl, I just have to get married. I have no other dreams, have no other. I cannot be a doctor, I cannot be a teacher. But through Montessori, we give them opportunity to know they can become who they want to
Wow.
become. Because through Montessori, we expose them and they discover that I want to be a teacher, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a scientist. So this has been helped them that to have another dream than being a parent in the future. But also we believe that if we invest in these children, when they grow up, these are the future leaders, they come to their community, they are the future mothers, the future husband, that they are going to change this kind of cultures that are hindering the excelling of girls or the issue of gender issue in the community.
Thank you so much. We have another one for John. John, what do you see are the main motivators for these education innovators to emerge and kind of influence the grammar of schooling? What causes kind of moments when suddenly there seems to be a lot of new leaders coming out into the environment?
The main motivators of the when they come into presence, you mean?
Yes, because you spoke about three, but we know that there are others that seem to come around certain moments in history. All of a sudden, there seems to be a moment at which new ideas are coming forth, and then a moment at which things go along much as they were, and then another kind of flowering.
Yeah, we have also from ancient times there are educators thinking about education and talking about it, reflecting on it. But there are, as you said, it's true, certain moments in history when we see educational innovation. One moment is Comenius' time, when the education mainly in Europe spreading, when the most of when a lot of children went to schools. When there was also a battle between religious battle between Protestant and Catholics, and they want to educate their children in their confession, so that was a trigger for them. However, it was a time of war. But I think the main moment in history is the time of Montessori, of the new education movement, and I think it's one thing. It was connected to the rise of the nation states. At a time when the governments want to teach their countries, their nations in a new way. And that was also the time when a lot of educational innovators came into presence. And Montessori was one of the first of them. And she has inspired a lot of later innovators, and I presented some of them.
Yes.
But it's mainly for the history of education, the field of history of education. It's always good to study further the connections between all of these people. They
Yes.
are never alone, but they are a big group of innovators at that time, and they always replied, react to their times, and they their starting point is always looking at the bad school situation. So they always want to change something.
Yes, and yes, and I must say that the three that you chose were so very enlightening for us in terms of just pulling out the threads of their focus. And again, that's just so interesting because again, you realize that there are others too that see these things as being important and are focused for change, as you say, not just from not just from one person, but from many. So that Sarah, we've have someone asking, what advice do you have for those looking to start engaging with their community? Because you've done a huge amount with all the different sections of your community. How do you even begin that process? What do you think is important to do?
That's a good question, I can say. Of course, I could say that as Montessori started in the community, Montessori started in the family level, and then it goes to the classes. And then I think it's good to start with the community that you are in. Start from your family, and then you extend. Because when Montessori came into Tanzania, it only begins in the marketplace with the mother, with the children, teenager mothers. And then from there, it expanded. The cases can be different, but I think if you own trust in the community and they understand you well, it's easy to excel to another level and another level. But also using the existing structures like families, like local government structures or community structures, also it helps to excel in one level and to another. And it's need a lot of consistency because when you say Montessori, it looks something very huge, sophisticated, difficult. But how are you going to introduce Montessori without saying Montessori sometimes? You just go and do speak about Montessori, and then later on they ask, what is that? And say, oh, no, this is Montessori. So that's how we've been being a little bit tricky, but working closer to the community, I can say it's more successful.
Well, thank you both very, very much indeed. I think you've given us a huge amount of food for thought and an immense inspiration just reading all of the different comments that are coming by and speaking for myself and the team at AMI. We are so grateful to you both for actually elevating our own capacity to bring this kind of information to the community at large around the world. And we just hope that we will have the opportunity to meet again and to talk with you both again. And to explore and develop our own understanding, and in some ways, try to emulate and understand from both your perspectives what our work is in today's world. I want to thank you all for joining us today.